First thing I wanted to say tonight is we look back over these 80 years of camp, and some of us have been here not quite that long, but certainly more than others. And Antonio here, it's the first time that he's at camp, and we're trusting that God will work in him while he's here. Others of you have been here a long time, and we've heard the word of God spoken to us. And but as I sat in these meetings just these past few days, I was so thankful that the word of God has continued, or will continue to be spoken. And I'd like to encourage you that are here and that will be here first period and maybe beyond, pay attention. Pay attention, because God is going to speak to you. I was blessed in sharing a story that my wife recounted to us recently when she came. I think it was the first time or the second time, first time that she came on staff. She was 19 years old. She had not been raised in a Christian home. She didn't go to church. She didn't go to Sunday school. And but at 19, the Lord seemed to lay his hand upon her. And she began coming to church. And so it was around the summertime. And so she came to camp as a waitress. Brother Bob Collis was the director at that time. And she said, "I don't even know if I was saved. I know I was seeking for God, but I don't know if I was saved." She said, "But I was in those meetings, and it seemed as if Brother Bob was talking directly to me, that God was speaking to me directly." And I believe that God can do that and does that again and again and again. And so when we come, there's just this verse from the book of 2 Timothy. "Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them." And I think that's just my point. We're going to go somewhere else tonight, but I just wanted you to get that. The word that's spoken here is by people who know what it means. To live for Jesus, to love Jesus, to serve Jesus. And so, you don't have to go to YouTube. I mean, YouTube's okay. I'm sorry, Sister Heidi. But YouTube is okay. I wasn't referring to you. But you don't have to go to YouTube to get the truth. You can come to Cobra Camp. And you can hear God speak. Amen? So let's listen for his voice. It's a two-way thing. You know, God wants to speak, but he's waiting for people who want to listen. And when there are people who want to listen, then God speaks. And so don't miss your opportunity, as we heard tonight. Jesus is passing this way. I just wanted to talk a little bit about faith tonight. And Brother John confessed that at times our faith wavers. And so I guess it's my turn to confess that at times my faith wavers. Just recently, and maybe somewhat still ongoing, is something that's on my heart. It's not anything terrible, so because I'm not sharing this, because I don't necessarily want to share it with all of you publicly, but it's not something terrible, but it's something that's been bothering me. It's a weight. It's a care. And I wrestle with God, and I say, "God, why? You know, why this?" You know, sometimes we bargain with God. We think that somehow, "Well, I've done this, God, why don't you do what you're supposed to do? You do it for other people, why don't you do it for me?" Do you ever say that? And all raise your hands at once, all right? And sometimes we walk around maybe a little bit like spoiled children. And somehow God owes us something, and because we have done X, Y, Z, well, then God needs to do what he needs to do. And let me say this. There is a connection, beloved, in the way you live and your faithfulness to obtaining the promises of God. But that doesn't give us a right to say, God, you have to do this in my time and in my way. Do you understand the difference? And so we struggle. I say, God, why? Why can't you answer this prayer? Why can't you change this situation? Why can't you step in and fix this? And it's something, here's the key, it's something that I can't fix. Now, why is that? Well, for me, again, another confession, I think I can fix things. I know how to fix things. I know how to resolve situations. But I can't fix this. I am powerless to change the situation. So what do? I think it's like where faith comes in. This is where faith now has to come in and has to work. I mean, when I say it has to work, it has to apply to this situation. So my faith at times is tested. How about you? I was thinking of Abraham. I mean, 25 years. He had the promise of God. He had it. God said, he appeared to him, I'm going to do this for you, Abraham. You're going to have a child. You're going to be a great nation. I'm going to do all these things for you. And 25 years it took for that promise to be fulfilled. That's a long time, God. We know his story, how his faith wavered at times. I mean, if you read it in the Old Testament, then in the New Testament, Paul says his faith didn't waver. So you let me know how you resolve the two things, all right? But God came through, didn't he? God fulfilled his promise, and God will fulfill his promises to you. All right, Mark 9, let's just turn there for a minute. I think it's maybe a familiar story to us. Maybe we've heard it in Sunday school or at other times. But here is the story of a father who is bringing his son to Jesus. And again, the father is in the same helpless situation, maybe like I feel I'm in. And he brings his son. His son has this problem, continual problem, possessed by a demon or this spirit that throws him into the fire and tries to destroy this boy. Whatever his condition was, it was of the enemy. It was something that Jesus came to save us from. Part of the curse. Oftentimes, verse 22, it casts him into the fire to destroy him. Now Jesus had been on the mount with his three disciples. Remember this, the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the scene, or this is the thing that was happening when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. There was a big commotion, and Jesus said, "What's going on?" And the man said, "Well, I brought them to your disciples, and your disciples, they could not cast him out. This is the problem." And so what does Jesus say? "Bring him to me. Bring him to me." And then he asked the Father these questions. And the Father responds, "Oft time to cast him into the fire, into waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Now, I don't know what Bible version you have, but the next verse is different in different translations. In the King James, it says this, "Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now, if you have the NIV, it might say something like, "If I can." That's what it says in the NIV, right? If I can. Now, what's Jesus saying? Well, the man said, "If you can, Jesus, if you can do it, if you can do anything, help me." And Jesus says, "If I can." It's not on me. It's on you. He says, "If you can what? Believe. If you can believe." You see, our faith isn't in a God who cannot perform his promises. A God who is not able. No, our faith is in the omnipotent God. the God who was able to do the impossible. And I like the response. I like the response of this man. Jesus says, all things are possible to him that believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now, I think that was a true statement. He had a measure of faith. Why? Well, he had brought him to Jesus. I mean, he knew where to come. And he knew that Jesus could help him. I believe he did. But he also acknowledged that maybe he wasn't believing fully, or that his faith could increase. And I think that's maybe my point tonight. You know, we're all on different points in our faith journey, if you want to call it that way. We're all in different places in our walk with God. And I believe that our faith can grow. I believe that our faith, you know, at the beginning, the disciples, they were in the boat with Jesus, and there was this storm, and they're crying out, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And what does Jesus get up and say? Oh, ye of little faith. Right? I mean, in this story, it even says, he said to them, you have no faith, you're a faithless generation. But he doesn't leave us there, and the Bible doesn't leave, God doesn't leave us there and say, somehow you got to create faith, and you got to try hard, you got to believe more, you got to, you know. So how is it that our faith can grow? I mean, the disciples said that to Jesus. Lord, increase our faith, right? And so I believe that there is something on our part that we can do so that our faith can increase. Now, there are words here that we're kind of interchanging, right? I guess maybe if you're paying attention, you notice that I interchange belief and faith, right? Are they the same thing? And then you have the other word, trust. Where does that come in? I think they all kind of go together. They all have maybe a different aspect of this. But let's consider faith. Right? What does the Bible tell us about faith? How does the Bible define faith? Okay. Let's see. Let's go to the Bible. those are all good. I heard them. Forsaking all, I take him. That's something we teach our children, right? And then Brother Tom pointed us to Hebrews, right? Well, first of all, it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it must be important. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So it has to be something that we as Christians need to exercise, as it were. And so if you go to Hebrews 11, which we call the faith chapter, you find here a whole chapter that's deals with faith. But the interesting thing about it, and I know I'm jumping ahead now a little bit, but if you read chapter 11, you find that a lot of it is by faith. Right? It tells us how people did things by faith, what things were accomplished by faith. But at the beginning of the chapter, it just gives us this definition. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wow. What does that mean? You see, in dealing with these spiritual things, these eternal things, we can't depend on our natural senses. You understand that? I mean, Brother John was trying to describe eternity to us last night. Well, he wasn't trying to describe it. He was telling us that we can't really understand it, right? I've had those similar things. I mean, it gets to a point where you stop and you say, I can't. And we can't grasp everything by our natural understanding, our wisdom, our intelligence. We can't fully understand God. We do our best to formulate in our theology what God is like, and we base it upon His Word. But then faith must come in, and faith is how we experience God, how we experience the eternal, how these unseen realities become real to us. If I ask you, have you ever seen God? Well, how do you know that he exists? How do you know that there is a God? Well, there's two things that I like to say. First of all, by faith I can know God. I can not only know him with an understanding of how he's revealed in his word, but I can experience him. The wonderful thing is that our God desires to reveal himself to us. Isn't that wonderful? God has brought you here to camp so that you can get to know him better. Is that why you came? Oh, I came to work in the kitchen. I came to serve. I came because Adrian invited me to come. Well, you came because God wants you to get to know him better. That's why. And all of us. And it's through faith. Why? Because we can't see God. And so our faith is what makes this unseen God real to us. He goes on to say that, it says, whoever comes to God, verse 6, must believe that, first of all, he is. You see? And because I can't see him, and because maybe I can't understand everything about him, does not mean that he is not the one who is revealed to us in Scripture. And so by faith, I believe that he is, and he is all that he claims to be. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the second part. That's the part where it says that if I seek after this God, I believe he is, but if I seek after him, then I'm going to experience him. He's going to reward me. He's going to come to me and make himself real to me. And so faith is so important in our Christian walk. Just one other thought on this, and I don't want to be too long tonight. But this faith chapter, you know, in the Bible we have these chapters, and it's divided up to us in verses and chapters, and someone did that after the Bible was written to help us. But if you follow the thoughts here through chapter 11 and you go into chapter 12, I think there's something about faith that we need to see. Because there's a definition of faith. Someone said, forsaking all, I take him. Well, here's another definition of faith that I've come across, and it's this. It's something that you'll find in Tozer's writings. And he says this, faith is the gaze of the soul upon a saving God. Faith is the gaze of the soul upon a saving God. Now, how does that fit in with Hebrews 11 and 12. We're right at the beginning of Hebrews 12, right? So you can read all about those people who by faith did these wonderful things. But at the beginning of Hebrews 12, it says that we should look unto who? Jesus. It talks about running a race, about living this Christian life of walking with God. And then he says, but I want you to do this by looking to Jesus. And I think that is connected with faith. You see, because I think our faith grows, talking about how our faith grows, as we get a sight of our God and what he's able to do. You know, Jesus said, now this goes back. Jesus said you can have faith as small as the grain of a mustard seed. I mean, that's like tiny. So it must be that it can't be like I have great faith because I just somehow believe really more than you. No, I think it means that I have a sight of my God. My faith is great because I have a great God. Do you know that you have a great God? One of the ways that God will increase our faith and strengthen our faith is when we see his hand at work in our lives. Now, sometimes that means we have to go through a trial first. And then we look back and we say, wow, God brought me through. God was with me all the time. God didn't forsake me. When I felt he had forsaken me, no, he was carrying me. And when you experience these instances in your life where God is just working on your behalf, and you know that it wasn't you, and it wasn't just happenstance or circumstance, but you know that God worked a miracle for you, why, that's a thing that will increase your faith. And so our faith is in seeing Jesus. He is the one. He is the mighty conqueror. He is the victor. Our brother John said to us this morning that we ought to see Christ where? Seated, ascended, victorious, risen, exalted, right? That's what he said. We need to see him like that. And when we do, that's going to again increase our faith. You see, the enemy wants us to look at the circumstance. He wants us to look at the difficulty. He wants us to look at maybe the time. Philip, you've been praying now 6 months for this, and God hasn't heard your prayer. No, we have to keep looking unto who? Jesus. Fix your gaze upon Jesus. Look to Jesus. But it's not only based on my experience with God, right? Because the Bible says that faith comes by how?
Hearing.
By hearing, and hearing by
the Word of God,
right? So I've thought about that a little bit also. Faith comes by hearing. Now, I just thought it meant that faith comes by me reading the Word of God. Is that the way you thought that verse, what that verse means? Well, I mean, it's okay if you did, because I think that's a good thing, right? You read the Word of God and it creates faith. Mm-hmm. But there's hearing in there. It doesn't say faith comes by the Word of God. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So what is the hearing part? In this Word, you and I can hear God speak. You understand that? That's the hearing. And when you hear his voice, when he speaks to you, your faith will be strengthened. When he gives you his word, when he speaks it into your heart, you can say, all the promises in the book are mine. And that is true. But how many times have you experienced God take one of those promises and just drop it into your heart, and it was just the thing you needed just at the right time?
Amen.
And you knew that it was God.
Amen.
And so faith, your faith is going to grow. It's going to be strengthened. As you say, God, as I open your word, I want to hear you speak to me. I want to hear your voice. And so I believe in these days, God is going to speak to us. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants your faith to be strengthened. He wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to know that I am with you. Just one more thought in closing is this, that this work at camp is really a work of faith. And so we have to believe that the counselors are strengthened in their faith. That you have a sight of God. That you know that he's able. That he is the Savior. That he is the Deliverer. And that he wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to manifest himself to us this first period. And many of us can look back, just even in this place, and say, well, God did this for me here at Pilgrim Camp. God did this for me in that prayer room. And God worked in the village, and and filled me with the Holy Spirit. Oh, God worked in Nonantum, and we can look back. And what does it do? It encourages our faith. Because Jesus Christ is the same. And he's not waiting. You know, it's not about him. If you can, Lord. We don't pray, Lord, if you can come to Pilgrim Camp, come. No, Lord, we want you to come. Help our unbelief. Give us a sight of you and all that you want to do. And Lord, help us to fix our eyes upon Jesus. And so I'd like to encourage all of us. You know, you're all part of the work that God wants to do, and the campers that come and then the guests that come, we're all part of that. He wants our faith to look up to him, that our eyes would not see the problems. You know, there were times, fourth period, I was a head counselor and counselor in fourth period, many years. Andrew with me sometimes. Boy, sometimes when that bus came in and the kids got off that bus, you knew the battle had begun. Now, I look, you know, I think, wow, you know, the girls are coming tomorrow. It must be like real easy. I mean, come on, they're just girls, you know? But you know what? I've come to realize that there's a battle. In every heart, there's a battle. And so we have to believe. We have to have faith that, Lord, you are able. And when it gets difficult, we have to remember that Jesus says, I'm with you. That's all you need. I'm with you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so I just like to encourage us, don't put your faith in your faith. No, put your faith in the living God. Lord, open my eyes. We sing that, you know, Lord, open my eyes. I want to see Jesus. And so, Lord, help us in these days. Lord, in our personal lives, you know, there may be questions and things that we are still wrestling with. Situations, things we don't understand. Lord, don't let us waver. Encourage us. Give us a sight of Jesus in these days. That we would see the greatness of our Savior. The complete victory that you have won, Lord Jesus, help us to see that you are the mighty conqueror. That there's nothing too hard for you. And Lord, as we go through this first period, I pray that you would just encourage the counselors, the head counselors, the workers that are here. Encourage the staff, dear God. That we are part of what you are going to do in lives. You are going to do wonderful things. Lord, we believe for miracles. That hearts would be open to you. That you would change us within. That you'd make yourself real and precious. And Lord, above all the distractions that may be around us, Lord, I pray that we will be able to hear your voice. Yes. That you would speak your word into our hearts. That you would make your promises real and precious, personal. Faith is the victory that overcomes. I'm thankful that we're not in this alone. I'm thankful that we can have brothers and sisters in this family of God who walk with us, who encourage us, who speak the word of God into our lives. And so let's be that in these days for one another. Let's together look up, fix our eyes upon Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are able, Lord. Praise God. So I just wonder if there's anyone tonight, or maybe there are more than one, if you'd just like to stand where you are and just say, I'm struggling with something in this way of faith, and I just want you to pray for me. I'll be the first to stand. But maybe there are others, and we just want to pray for one another. God has not forgotten you. Father sees, and Father knows, and He knows exactly what you need.
Thank you, Lord.
He is the faithful God. And He's the God that never fails.